Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for the great privilege that we can be here again to meet God, to hear His word, and to let ourselves be blessed. And I believe that we have all reason to be thankful and happy. Happy about that God is gracious unto us, that He has shown us the right way, that He redeemed us, that He lets us recognize the time in which we live, and the message, the promises, the word of the hour. We've said it many times. By that alone, one recognizes whether one really walks with God. Namely, only then, if he walks in conformity with his word. And whoever bypasses the promises which God has given for this time, he cannot walk with God in this time. Is that right? Otherwise, we serve God with the lips. We praise Him with the lips. And our hearts are not in the matter. But if God lays His word into our hearts and reveals His will through His word and tunes us in such a way that we are ready to do it, only then we can truly walk with God. And I give you the scripture to it. Amos 3. How can two walk together unless they agree? Is this so? Unless they agree. How can a man walk with God if he doesn't agree with him? If the man walks in a totally different direction, how then can he walk with God? With God can only he walk who walks into the divine direction. And so we are very grateful that we not only have religious activities and a full program, but that we truly found grace in the sight of God, to in this time understand His word, and respectively to His word, understand His doings. When Brother Rus tuned in the chorus, "This is the day," I had to think again on Nehemiah chapter 8, and I was thinking about myself and on some whom I saw that still a bit sadness surrounds us. But the scripture says in Nehemiah 8, I just read that part that refers to this day or the day which God means. Nehemiah 8, and here it would be the second part of verse 9. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. Paul writes, sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Isaiah calls out in chapter 40, comfort ye my people, and proclaim that her warfare is accomplished. Then it's written in verse 10, Likewise, in the second part, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Therefore, don't be grieved. How many of us are so many times depressed for different reasons, because of certain circumstances and whatever it might be? The Lord addresses us and says, therefore, don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I believe we must ask God to help us to not let ourselves be depressed by all kinds of things. If we look onto the circumstances, then we can be quickly depressed. If we look to the Lord, we will get new courage, straightened up, comforted, and walk forward by faith. I read also the part from verse 11. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. Let us take this today from the hand of the Lord. What more could God have done than to save us, than to forgive us all our guilt and sin, and give us new eternal life, and reveal Himself to us as the one who He was, who He is, and who He will be forever, and speaks with us through His Word and through His Spirit in such a clear way? What more could God have done to make us happy, to make us thankful? The joy of the Lord is our strength. May it really take place that in all peoples and tongues, the word of the hour, the word of God, is preached. The nice thing is that we didn't become lopsided, not having taken two or three certain doctrines and then riding away on it, but that we may proclaim the whole word of God. That is getting bigger and bigger for me, in a balanced way, proclaiming the whole word of God as the Lord wants to have it. If I would have in every point of my life this absolute certainty, as in the proclamation of the word of God, then I would now jump over this pulpit. If it is about a proclamation, then it is yes and amen. Then it is God's holy word that is preached in purity as it was left in the Holy Scripture. Sometimes, in personal decisions, one probably doesn't always know whether it was right or not. And recently, I don't know, probably it was even Brother Rus, he has a hairdresser who comes to his home, and at the conversation, I probably told him, one thing I know, the right decision which I made in my life was the decision for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, for He made the choice for us, and everything else He will make well from the riches of His grace. Who of us knows whether His decisions were always right? But the divine decision to redeem us and our decision to accept this redemption, that is an eternally correct and valid decision. Amen. Praise be to our God. And if we get happy in this, then everything else will be well. So let us tonight very relaxed, really relaxed, hear the word of God without being cramped. Just saying, Lord, speak thou through your word to all of us, so that everyone, really everyone, gets something out of this gathering and take it home. Whether believer or unbeliever, or however far on the way, may the Lord have a word for everyone. And so far, I know my Lord, that He doesn't cast out anyone and refuses no one. He helps all who come to Him. He blesses all. It is upon my heart today to speak a bit doctrinally about the Gospel of Luke, or to read from the Gospel of Luke. And I would like, what I actually do very seldom, usually I deal with the prophetic books in the Old Testament, then in the New Testament, what concerns prophecy and the revelation and the doctrinal things. Today, may God help me to read here from the Gospel of Luke and have together an observation which will be a blessing to all of us. I'm certain of it. With Luke chapter 11, I would like to start. Luke chapter 11, a word well known to all of us. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. What impression did the prayer make on the disciples? Such a one that he who had to speak overwhelmingly cried out, Lord, teach us to pray. They watched, they listened how he prayed. They saw it, they witnessed it, and said then, Lord, teach us to pray. They noticed that they cannot yet pray as it is pleasing to God. Inwardly touched, one of them cried out, Lord, teach us to pray. We were not with him in Gethsemane. We were not with him when he prayed somewhere. But we can imagine that the prayer every time was so in the will of God, related to the things it was about. Brother Rus just mentioned the mystery of the incarnation of God. Who can grasp it that Jehovah suddenly lies in the manger, having become man for the sake of man, to bring mankind back into its divine condition? Therefore, he had to walk the human way from birth, from the manger, until death, and cry out while dying, Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. This is a mystery that God revealed unto us by his grace. We don't want to go here into detail, but instead deal here with this word. In verse 2 it says, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's how it actually should start. When we want to pray, then we shall direct our prayer to the right address. Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. There is another scripture in which it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. When ye pray, say, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Beloved, to us it is not only about that God has revealed unto us this high and holy name, but that it is sanctified in our midst, that a reverence and a respect and an awe would be there when we speak out the name of Jesus, that we count with it that God does something, for in the name of Jesus is the whole salvation, the whole redemption, everything what was given to us by God is in the name of Jesus. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Nothing else. No new direction. No new denomination. Thy kingdom come. Not a new doctrine that one comes up with just like that. Thy kingdom come. And how does it come? It doesn't come with observation. It has to begin within us. It is written in Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John, and from that time on the kingdom of God is preached and breaks forth with violence, and he who is violent comes into it. One has to be touched under the proclamation of the word and pressing into the kingdom of God, which comes by force, to be then in the kingdom of God. Then of course, give us day by day our daily bread. Also therein we can thank God. He has both giving us earthy and spiritual bread. Our Lord says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then Jesus says, my food is that I do the will of him who sent me. Amen. Amen. A person who confesses in this generation to believe God, let him do what God has said in his word, and let the word be his food, and let the word be the lamp unto his feet. Only when the things we believe and do agree with the word of God, only then are they really correct. And I'm sure that I don't reveal any secret here, but when we will have the brothers meeting here, if God gives grace to it, then firstly, everybody may present in a few minutes what he wants to present. But then comes the moment where he has to take the Bible, and that what he presented, he has to prove it with the Holy Scripture. And everything what cannot be proved with a clear testimony of the Holy Scripture, this we can then forget and scratch out from the program. For in the program of God, there's only that what is in the Word of God. heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. And if we remain in the word, then we remain with the word forever. That's what it's about in this time, and God will give grace to it. Verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. I believe this is a very important point. A child of God bears no enmity. A child of God may not retain sin. There's only one thing, if it is the sin against the Holy Spirit that somebody commits, then a servant of God would have authority to retain sin. But in general, to all of the people of God, this does not apply at all. We must forgive one another just as God has forgiven us. And if somebody says he cannot forget, then he must be told that he then has not yet the nature and the character of God. For God says, I will remember your sin no more, and they are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. God does not remember them anymore. The unbeliever, he can rightfully say, oh, I forgive you, but I will still remember it. A believer cannot do that. Forgiven and forgotten, covered, forever settled by the grace of God. For if we do not forgive one another, then God can also not forgive us. And therefore, these serious admonitions in this scripture. Now here, from verse 5 to 10, we are encouraged. And for the first time today, I read for the first time the word persistence in the Bible. And I thought, this sounds strange. But here it is written, in Luke 11, the same chapter, in verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, I meant verse 8, sorry. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. You know the story. The Lord says, a man gets visit. He has no bread. It's a surprise. And this man goes to his friend, maybe his neighbor, at night, knocks, everybody sleeps, the children sleep, the whole family sleeps. He knocks and says, friend, I got visitors and I have no bread. Please assist me. I need 3 loaves of bread. Yes, the boss of the house says here, listen, the whole family is sleeping. You can read it here. Trouble me not. It's written here in verse 7. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. The friend wants to turn away this man. But the man cannot be turned away. He remains standing at the door. He got visitors. He was in need. It was a surprise. He just stands. He knocks. He is persistent. He doesn't go away. He is in need. He remains there. Did you read the sermon of Brother Branham Perseverance. Is it published already? Yes. Perseverance. Yeah. Persistent. He persists. The visit is here. The hospitality was very important to him. The guests must be served also in the middle of the night. I don't have it. Please assist me. He is persistent. He is insistent. He is in need. He knows what he wants. He knows what he needs. He doesn't let up until he got it. And the Lord says here, even if the man doesn't like it, then he nevertheless has to get up because of the persistence of that man who stands there at the door and knocks. What does the Lord want to tell us here? Firstly, we have to get into need to really knock, and we must be persistent also in spiritual things until we received them. And not saying, oh, if the Lord doesn't want, or maybe he sleeps. Our Lord does not sleep nor slumber. The keeper of Israel does not sleep nor slumber. To him we can come even at midnight. And spiritually speaking, the midnight hour is critical. At midnight, Matthew 25, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Beloved, let us become persistent in spiritual things, and let us not rest until we have what we need. To be able to go up with the Lord. Here the Savior gives us an extraordinary example. And then he proves this story and says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. You come and you ask, and you didn't receive yet. And then you walk away with a long face. This shall not be. Keep on knocking. You need it. It is necessary. You must have it. For you don't come because you just want to come. You come because there is a need. You knock." And then the Lord continues to say, "Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives." Sometimes it's not at the first knocking. He gives the example of this man. Persist on it and say, "Lord, you promised it. Bring me into that stand in which I can receive it. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." These are all facts here. Here it is not being said if or but. It is being said here as it is. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. I would like to read on a bit from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Here it is. And these are the two thoughts that occupy me this evening. On one hand, the prayer until one received for what one asks for. And on the other hand, following the Lord. Luke chapter 9 from verse 57. Luke 9 from verse 57. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Here three things are shown to us, as we will just see now, concerning the call and the following. The one is in exuberance and says, I will follow you whithersoever thou goest. But the Lord feels already that in his heart there is not yet room to take dwelling. The Lord wants to take dwelling. He not only wants to be with us, he wants to be in us. God above us as Father, God amongst us and with us in the Son, God in us and through us by the Holy Spirit. I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. But please, but only if I can take dwelling in your heart. Then yes, not different. And therefore the answer, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. He wants to take dwelling. He wants to come to us. As he said then to Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house and eat with you. Now comes the second category in verse 59. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Here was even a divine commission connected with this call. Here the Lord has given the call, and I believe we understood it very well, that not we were looking for the Lord, but he was looking for us. Not we have found him, he found us. He had mercy on us. And if there are such among them who still think to settle earthly family matters, then I truly think on the second song that was suggested by Brother Rus. Go out, leave thy father's house, or your homeland and your father's house. A divine call goes beyond every relatedness. It is more important than any earthly relationship, and you will see in the kingdom of God there will be only one family, and this is the family of God, the sons and daughters of God. If we look at the Holy Scripture, Esau and Jacob, the same father, the same mother, and God says, I loved you, and you I didn't love, or I hated. The word hated seems to be translated a bit too crass, but also here we don't want to go into details. One was received, the other rejected. Earthly birth is not yet a new birth. Only by the new birth we become sons and daughters of God, because we are divine seed, and only those who are born of God, they have eternal life and they can live eternally. Such people have also the courage to make decisions, even it goes through the midst of the family. To them, the divine call has become the main thing. They cannot let loose because God holds them and that they may walk this way. Now comes the third group in verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We may not read such scriptures sketchily and think that the Lord has called to despise father and mother. No, after all, it's the first commandment that has a promise, honor thy father and mother. But the Lord sees into our hearts. He knows how strong the bonds are. He knows how difficult it is to loosen oneself. And then he must pull away. If one somehow can't quit this relation, which does not please God, then God must tear it up. Here the word but is written. And every time when the word but is written, then we know already what comes. Then comes an objection or a doubt, whatever it may be. But something comes that does not please God. But let me first go, but permit me to say goodbye to my family, whoever it might have been. And then the Lord says, very clearly, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Also this we sang in the one hymn, don't do it like Lot's wife did and turn around your face. A divine call in our life, because it is the highest, it must be at the first place. Seek first for the kingdom of God and for its righteousness, and then all things will be added unto us. The Lord wants a full thing, believe me, the time is here to make a full and final decision for the Lord. If somebody holds me, I run away. How does it go on in the song? When I'm weary, the word calls. Wrestling through until one gets the treasure. We need brothers and sisters who get rid of everything what could hold them back, to be able to follow and serve the Lord freely. Here we have these three possibilities shown before us. The one says, I will follow you whithersoever thou goest. And the Lord spoke always in parables. He didn't come out with it. Otherwise, in the end, nobody would have listened. He spoke in parables. For thus it was written, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. He spoke to the multitudes in parables. But his disciples, they understood it. And that's how it is also today. If somebody says, I will follow you wherever thou goest, please, dear brother, dear sister, let it be said to you. May the following not only be outwardly, but give to the Lord your heart and say, please, dear Savior, if I really shall follow you, then you must take dwelling in my heart and lead me on the way which I have to walk, for by myself I cannot do it. And then it happens. This example speaks volumes. The fox have holes, and there are many foxes. And the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. I will come to you and make my abode in you. Father, you in me, and I in them, that we all may be one. This is then perfect unity, and then conformity with God. No more permit me that I do this and that, but first let me leave your but, leave your if, leave everything what could from your mouth object that what the Lord wants you to do. Swallow it and don't speak it out. Let the high and holy calling of God come so mightily into your heart that you feel exactly, today the Lord called me. Today he made an end to my own way and plans. Today he demands my heart, according to the scripture, my son and my daughter, give me your heart. There somebody said so fitting of Samson that he served the Lord, but not his heart. He served the Lord, not with a heart. God wants that we serve him with a heart. And if we serve him with a heart, then also with the hands, with a mouth, with everything what we are, this God wants today. He wants that we pray according to his will. Hallowed be thy name. How is it hallowed? By that we believe with all our hearts what in his name was spoken by all prophets and apostles, and accept it, and thus are sanctified by the truth of the word. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. Today, that's how I wanted to say at the beginning, there are enough religious activities and one shouldn't believe it. But the Vatican is really the place where all the negotiations take place with Christians and Muslims and Hindus and who they are. They want a world religion, one thing under one patronage. What negotiations are taking place on all levels in the religious field today is hard to grasp. But what is happening in the kingdom of God? Shouldn't we cry, Lord our God, here we are. Hold a conference with us. Come into our midst. Everywhere they confer, everywhere they want to reach something. Oh, that we could say, Lord, here we are. And when this great Protestant man gave the declaration about John 14, where our Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and then came his declaration, mansions for the Christians, mansions for the Muslims, mansions for the Hindus. This was then his interpretation. I know for whom our Lord prepared these mansions. They may come from the Hinduism and from every ism, but they must come to Jesus Christ, the crucified one, to receive eternal life. It can be Muslims, but they must become believers on the biblical way. And there's only one way, and this is our Lord. Only one truth, and this is our Lord. Only one life, and this is our Lord. But we see of what is being made with the word, how one twists it for every situation and makes it fit. God has a church on earth, people who were born again by the Holy Spirit, and he who is born of God and received the revelation of Jesus Christ, he will look through the doings of the Antichrist and will have no part in it. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to believe. Teach us to receive. According to the scripture, he who knocks, to him will be opened. He who asks, he receives. He who seeks, he finds. Also today, in this hour, it can become a divine reality in your life. And everyone who was seized by the Lord and was spoken to by the word, may he simply say, Lord, here I am, receive me. The birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. He wants today find a dwelling place where he can enter, where he can abide, and this shall be your and my heart. Therein he wants to live today. And if somebody is still here who probably says, but I have a circle of friends, but permit me, leave today the but behind and receive and accept the divine offer of grace. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Accept the Lord. And not only accept him and say, I follow you, I would like to repeat myself here. And with this, I come slowly to a close. We can only follow the Lord if he took abode in our hearts. And we really, by the Holy Spirit, according to the word of God, can be led. There are, of course, many who say, the Spirit of God leads me, and they go into all directions under heaven, but not into the biblical direction. And therefore, the word and blood and Spirit of Jesus, these three work together in the church of the living God. There, where there's only charismatic and the blood is not preached as the redemption and for the forgiveness of sins, you can forget. It starts on Calvary, there where the price was paid for our redemption. Somebody may say, this is evangelization. May it be a biblical evangelization tonight, with a biblical result, that really people today, under the sound of the word of God, could have made their decision for Christ. And then I can assure you, this is the decision that you never need to regret, that you never need to correct, the decision that forever was made correct and blessed. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to believe. Lord, teach us to knock, to be persistent. Teach us, Lord, teach us. Teach us that we come there where you want us to be. And very important, Lord, teach us warningly not to look back. Like Lot's wife did. Lord, teach us to look forward on you, the beginner and the finisher of our faith. May the Lord today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, come into our midst and touch every heart and all lips, and may have worked faith by the preaching, so that his word does not return void, but accomplishes for what he has sent it for. And all who are ready to follow the Lord fully, to let themselves be loosed from everything what likes to hold them back, just say Amen. Let us stand up and worship. We bow our heads, close our eyes in prayer, open our hearts before God. Is someone here tonight who was spoken to by the Lord and who was called? Maybe there are some who postpone it, who want to first get this and that done before they follow the Lord. Precious heart, surrender to God today, and then do only what you can do with God, and the Lord will be with you. I know that God has spoken to us through his word, and I know that divine decisions have been made. Today, many understood the holy seriousness that is connected with the preaching of the gospel. Today, the Lord has spoken. Today, you should come. He calls. And as we have our heads bowed and persist in prayer, I would like to ask, who would like to be included into this prayer? Raise briefly your hand. Thank you. Thank you. May God bless you all. Are there still some? Especially among the youth. Beloved, don't think, yes, I will. But, today, right today, is the moment. Today is the hour. Today is the day, and the Lord calls. Come today to him. Come today to him. Does anyone else want to raise their hand while all heads are bowed and the eyes are closed? And we all pray so that the Spirit of God can work. Will anyone else raise their hand? Thank you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for your precious and holy word. Yes, the kingdom of God has come near. It comes by force. It is amidst of us and in us. Dear Lord, our Father, hallowed be thy name today in our midst. Hallelujah. We praise you. Your kingdom come today with might into our midst. May it break through. Dear Lord, we thank you with all our hearts that you have forgiven us and that we can forgive one another just as you forgave us. and that we love in the divine love with which you loved us. Faithful God, you are at work by the Holy Spirit now in our midst. We thank you for it with all our hearts. Teach us to pray. Teach us to believe. Teach us to receive. Give us persistence, consistency, patience, that we persevere until we received the promises of God and come to perfection. To you, the living God, we thank you wholeheartedly. May it apply, O Lord, that you took dwelling in us. Faithful Savior, may you come and take dwelling in us. O Lord, here we are. Take every if and every but, every excuse, every postponement. Take everything from us. And let us experience you today as our Redeemer, who forgives, who saves, who blesses, who delivers, who heals. Beloved Lord, confirm today thy word in our midst on everyone who has heard it and who believes it. It shall happen in the name of the Lord, by the power of God, that everyone who believes receives what God has promised him. And whoever knocks, to him it will be opened, and whoever asks receives. Dear Lord, this is the day of good news. Your people shall not be sad and not be grieved. You restored, you spoke, and you join all things together as they should be for the last round in the kingdom of God, whether politically, whether religiously, whether with Israel or with the church, and finally with the calling out of the bride of the Lamb. Beloved Lord, may your word reach all tongues and nations from heaven. O God, we praise you and we worship you. Verily, we feel your presence. You are present. I thank you for it, and I praise your holy and wonderful name. May it be hallowed in your people that are sanctified in the truth of your word. Dear Lord, also for this I thank you, that you have resurrected us from the dead. And thanks be to God, we also left the cemetery and are in the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Blessed and praised be the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our God, the God of Israel. Bless your people as never before from the riches of your grace. Bless all who raised their hands, all who opened their hearts. Dear Lord, today we leave every but and every if behind, and we ask you, take abode in our hearts, that we don't go astray. For thus you say in your word, man errs with his heart. But if we want to know your ways, you must take dwelling in us, and then we don't err anymore. Then we come out from error and follow you. Beloved Lord, to you this service is dedicated, and all who will hear your word here today and elsewhere, may your spirit everywhere be present, where your word is preached, where your name is honored. May you come to your right with all of us. Blessed and praised be your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all the people say, Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.